Hello, operatives. Welcome to episode 17 of Once Upon a Kill Team, the podcast about narrative play in Warhammer 40k Kill Team. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jason, and we want to talk to you about building stories around the gameplay in this grim, dark, terrible universe. In this episode, we find out what your favourite single operatives are in Kill Team, and what makes them so cool to you. In addition to that, of course, we always start with our regular slot hobby corner. So, my man, what have you been up to since last time we spoke?
Tons. Since the start of the year, we're at the end of January, not to date ourselves, but I've had a whole month of hobbying to do, and nicely, I can say that my World Eaters Kill Team are complete. I'm just waiting on a sunny day so I can take some proper photos and show them off properly and put them all up on Instagram and everything. And I'm really proud of how they turned out. It's my first time using a lot of the pigment powders on the basing and blood for the blood god for glorious red splatters across everything. It was four tabletop impulses legionary challenge, which I was going to build a legionary team anyway, but it lined up perfectly. And he's just put a video up this evening listing all the submissions and who won and everything, and everyone's teams look absolutely fantastic. I think it's been a month of painting gold. But yeah, he was very kind about my paint jobs on the models. So considering I consider myself a kit basher and not a painter, I was absolutely chuffed.
Well, as you know, I've mentioned this to you before, but I think this team is, if you were to distill Games Workshop's 40k essence, it would be this team. It is absolutely outrageous. You've gone over the top. It's brilliant. You've got a person with an icon twice the size of the Marine model. You've got big guns. You've got blood splatter. You've got weathering. They're totally grimdark. You've got a kick-ass backstory, right? So this, you know, and I like to do this sort of thing too, of course. But this is about as utterly 40k as you get. So yeah, so folks, do look out for pictures of these. Yeah, and we'll talk more about this later. But we might be on a team game in the future, so your World Eaters might partner with my Croot for something, but we might talk about that in a bit. Have you got anything
else?
Let's
not breeze past it. Well, yeah, let's not breeze past it. I'm absolutely gushing of that lovely compliment, Jason. Anything else? You've distracted me with all this positive energy. Now that the World Eaters are off the hobby desk, I've started whittling down my last remaining unfinished projects, like yourself. But I've also started packing. I'm moving house in a couple of months, so everything's getting cleaned up, tidied up, put into boxes. So I'm choosing the easy projects to, like, just tick off. So I thought I'd start with a difficult one. I'm going to be making a resin base for my Death Watch chaplain on jet bike.
Is he the one on the is it the Custodes jet bike? Is that the one?
Exactly.
Okay, he's very cool.
But the one with the Crozius big enough to hit a wide bus.
Look, if it's not too big, it's not big enough.
Exactly. So I'm planning on using some resin and some water effects to try and make a All my Death Watch are on this black slate, and I want this black slate jutting up from a cracked icy lake. So I started painting that down, and I've got some UV resin on the way in the post, so I'm looking forward to starting that off.
Sounds brilliant.
Yeah. Now, we know that you're running dry on projects, so have you got anything on the go at the moment?
Sean, it is a dry, parched, cracked desert out there. There's nothing. There's just a couple of tumbleweeds drifting across the desert on the wind.
It's not the dry January we want.
Oh my god, I hadn't thought about that. Oh my. So I've done nothing. I've done no hobby work at all since our last show, partly because I've had nothing to paint. I did my crew, which I'm very pleased with. I'd literally had nothing to do. So I drew up a list of potential next projects. Top of the list, I thought, about time I got on this Legionary bandwagon I've heard so much about. Except I quite fancy doing a Slaanesh warband, kind of like a hot pink.
Is this because you're a bit of a team hipster?
Yeah, I'm all over the hipster. Although, this is a bit of an aside, but I've never seen anybody run them all as Slaanesh, but they all get plus one movement, which is good. I know that from playing Phobos. Even 1 inch extra movement is
well, and everyone says that's good for intercession as well.
Right. And some of their close combat shenanigans are actually not bad either. So I've seen nobody ever play with the Slaanesh rules. But I would be intrigued. And also I just think, you know, that's, more my thing. The other thing which I still will do at some point, but I'm going to have to give it some thinking and I'll need your advice on it. I want to do a complete kit-bashed Star Striders team. So, you know, not the box team, which look good, but I'd want to do it. They're so individual. You could just...
Your way.
That would be my go-to-town team. Plus, I just love the idea of being a rogue trader. I think narratively that's just such a cool... you know, backdrop. You could just do anything with that. Love it. This is where
would you cast yourself as the rogue trader?
Oh, maybe. Don't know. Yeah, it's about as close to
Paolo in our narrative group 3D scanned his own face, printed it, and is now the leader of his own custodies. So
that's the best.
We can make it happen. We have the technology.
Okay. Didn't know you could do that. So that's very funny. Right, so I'll probably... the audience are still with me at this point, but we're going to lose them now because I actually do quite like the Tau. And I've just... Towers are there's lore and, you know, vaguely good people. Sort of, kind of. You squint a bit. And I don't know, I've just been put off because they were so... They're hard to pilot. And they were a bit too meta. I'm the anti-meta. And but one day, they've been nerfed quite a lot, so I will do them at some point. I don't like the models. What I really, really want is the stealth suits. That's what I really want. Except the stealth suits suck, rules-wise. But they look amazing.
They're great models.
Yeah, I love them. Of course, we've got the you know, the police coming up. We've got the cops.
Commit to a pronunciation now.
Right. Okay. I'm stretching.
He's warming up.
I'm warming up. Our beat is.
There we go.
Although, I just want to give a mention, because any time I see the word, I think, of course, in my head, I'm thinking Arbites. Obviously, I'm thinking Arbites.
Obviously.
And even more so, this is going to age me here, and you have to be an old person to remember this. But the R. White's lemonade advert, which you can find on Google, I go and look at it now. R. White's lemonade. The tune is the catchiest tune that's ever been put to an advert, and so every time I see R. White's, I keep thinking R. White's lemonade. I'm a secret lemonade drinker. Anyway, that'll mean nothing to most people.
True, but with the heavy bolter hot dog cart that was pointed out in the Battle Brothers tabletop, you need a flamethrower lemonade stand or something.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, those are my options for something to do next. And then I saw that the Cadians went on pre-order. So abandoned all of those really good ideas and just bought a box of Cadian shock troops and a box of the command squad box, and I'm making them into Vetguard. And I just sold my old Vetguard team, the Krieg ones. So, Patrick, if you're out there, I hope you're enjoying the old Krieg models. I think they were great. I did a reasonable paint job, but the Krieg are just not for me. It's just not. I'm not a gas mask kind of guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm going to be, and you'll be pleased at this, I'm going to have to kit bash a few people like the Demo and the Spotter. I think even the Sniper. Yeah, there's no Sniper rifle in the box. So
we've been helping you find the bits, haven't we?
We have. So, yeah, look out for that in the coming weeks. Anyway, that's hobby. I think you've had a few games. What games have you been up to?
Well, I've only had one day, and in a very uncharacteristic move, it was a match play tournament. I went to the London Wargaming Guild's very first tournament of 2023, down at Dark Sphere in Shepherd's Bush. It was a new venue. I thought it was absolutely great. It was like you were in a timeless bunker, because you entered at 10 in the morning, and when you exited at 7 at night, the sun's been and gone, but we didn't see it.
The dark side of the moon.
Yeah, exactly. I had four games all in all, and my morning consisted entirely of two matches of Intercession Squad. Being that only five of us took it, I was one of them, and I matched up against two of them. From what I could tell, the TO just didn't want Intercession to play against anyone else that morning. I had some really good games, and I had a chance to meet Paolo, who I mentioned earlier with his 3D printed Custodes heads. He's joined the narrative group, and he cannot wait for the kickoff for Campaign 3.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, he's a really lovely guy, so I'm looking forward to getting some more games in with him. Game 3, I went up against Vetguard, and I got absolutely schooled on non-reciprocal shooting.
Right.
And I think I'm going to have to invest in a laser pointer.
Yeah, I've been caught out by that. But, yeah.
It was painful. I did pat myself on the back. I shut down an entire corridor that he, I think, was hoping to just bomb down and score an awful lot of points. I just managed to shut that down. But I didn't manage to do very much else at all that game. So a little pat on the back. And then game 4, out of the blue, was up against Compendium Infiltrators.
What?
And this was actually quite an important match, because the guy, he's got quite an extensive 40k collection of Space Marines back home, and just wanted to give Kill Team a go. So he went through his models and said, what have I got? This lines up, you know. He probably bought the copy of the original Kill Team rules with the compendium. And we had a really good game. We took our time and we went through like certain interactions about what stuff could work, and he was a bit confused because some of the rules were very similar to 40k, but ended up in a different outcome. I really hope he continues with Kill Team. So I hope he had fun.
You've made me nostalgic, because my first couple of games were with Compendium Infiltrators, which I'd got off eBay. And
were these your Howling Griffins?
No, I think they might have. They're sort of Brazen Claws, so they're kind of red and blue. And actually, it's one of those things. I'm really pleased with the paint job on them. I think it looks really striking. But there's only five, and I slightly couldn't be bothered to just paint one more in that scheme. And I don't know, one of these days I'll give them away as a Once Upon a Kill Team prize for something.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with them, just I've now got, you know, a proper team of Phobos, so but I'm still nostalgic for them.
And what about you? You seem to be getting a consistent amount of games in recently.
Dedicated, focused.
That's it. He's a professional.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. My girlfriend and I just, she just knows I play once a week. I've got a license. So I'm okay. First up, I played my Phobos Strike Team, straight Team Gambit into an Into the Dark match with against some Death Watch with the really, really lovely Levi from our narrative group. Now,
oh, fantastic.
I don't want this to be awkward, but I think I might have found somebody more into Death Watch than you. Maybe you
We've
two should have a
talked extensively online.
You two should have a Death Watch off. he's really into it. I love it. It's kind of he plays very much. I kind of think plays narratively like this means this.
Yeah.
You know, when this heavy bolt is going off and shots are pinging off the. You know, I love that kind of play. Really good game. He was doing pretty well to start with, and then my Reavers Sergeant just did his super cool move of charging the leader and another Death Watch guy and knifed them to death in one go with shock assault. And it was quite a moment. Tipped the game, possibly. So it was a good moment. But yeah, no, it's a super game. Can't wait to have some more games with Levi. Then I played friend of the show Nick, who Nick, if you're out there, just go ahead a couple of minutes. You won't like hearing about this. I played my Phobos against his Farstalker Kinband, so his crew team, of which he is got like 11 battle honours. He's played loads of narrative play with his team. I think I went into the game with 8 command points. That's how far ahead he was on battle honours. And I think I had a reasonably good plan. I actually had a plan. So this will come as a shock. I don't normally have a plan. I had a plan that I think was... So I might even have won. Who knows? But in the whole time I've ever played more or less anything, I've never seen somebody roll as many ones consecutively, attack and defense, just ever. It was, so you know that so the crew have that sort of, it's a bit like a flamer, Dvorgite,
the microwave skinner. Gun,
there's something Skinner,
yeah, Dvorgite Skinner,
right. So he basically ambushed one of my guys, stood right in front of him. I was toast, right? I was almost literally grilled steak. And he rolled, because he did a re-roll as well, including the re-roll, he rolled 6 ones and one other dice, which didn't matter because I was behind cover and could save it. It's the worst roll I've ever seen. Anyway, so I easily won that game with my Phobos. Can I just say, I've won 3 out of 4 games with Phobos so far.
Maybe elite teams are where your mindset's at.
No, I just think I've been quite lucky so far.
Maybe the Silver Skulls are lucky. Reverse Lamenters.
Maybe. Anyway, so sorry, Nick, you can come back on the show now. And then I had, in our sort of mini tournament thing, knockout tournament, I played Nimrod from our group. I played him before. Great, absolutely great guy. And we played an Into the Dark Maze Breakout, which I've played before. But this was what was notable. This was my first ever mirror match. So I was playing my old blooded team. And Nimrod plays his blooded team. It was blooded on blooded. Blood on blood. Blood squared. Question was, who's bloodiest? It was me. It was me, if that's what bloodiest means, that I won. But it was very good. I think it is a game, that particular scenario is one where the advantage is with the defender, and I was the defender. So I think Nimrod had a bit of an uphill battle there. Wasn't helped by the fact I melter-gunned his Ogryn on turn one. Which was, that was a toughie. It was a great game, but Nimrod has the best homemade device I've ever seen ever. So this is a tip. It's a red hot tip for our listeners. But this is from Nimrod, not me, which is get yourself a coffee stirrer, you know, one of those wooden coffee stirrers, and put a put a little bit of blue tack on the end, just a little knobbly bit of blue tack. And then, you know, when like your engage conceal token, you just can't get to it with your fingers, especially in Into the Dark, with the coffee stirrer with a blue tack on the end, you can just dab it down and pick up your tokens. It's the most genius idea I've ever seen. That's like, this is what the podcast is worth. It's worth this kind of tip.
It's innovation. It's imagination. We're doing it all.
It is the best. Nimrod, I salute you. And he even gave me one. That's it. That's how good a guy he was. He just let me have his his free bit of wood with a bit of tic-tac on the end. Not tic-tac.
Blue-tac.
Tic-tac's a minty sweet. That wouldn't work. Don't do that.
No.
Anyway, that's enough games. I had some great games, and I want to play Nick in the next round, where he's going to presumably roll all sixes against my Bloodhead. So we'll wait for that one. Okay, let's move on.
The tricks on the Landry to crush the heretics, crush the heretics, crush the heretics. The tracks on the land read to crush the heretics all day long.
And that was the Imperial Children's Rhyme from Caiaphas Kane series.
So a bit of news. Providing I can get this episode edited and out on time, I've got the wonderful joy to tell you that our gaming group has the privilege to participate in the very first narrative event in the London Wargaming Guild's 2023 Kill Team series, and I think ever. This event signifies the kickoff of the first LWG narrative campaign, Killzone Ferrer. The event has been crafted by our friend Saul, who we had on last episode, to provide players with an intense series of unique scenarios to jumpstart the story of their kill teams. The event pack provides the campaign setting information for players interested in joining in Killzone Ferrer narrative campaign. It also provides information to prepare for the narrative expedition at the Seven Dials Club in Covent Garden on Saturday, the 18th of February, 2023. Teams will test their aptitude and skills against one another in three narrative games, culminating in a 2v2 bloodbath on the huge double-sized game board. I'll pop this packet and the link for the event. I'll put it all in the show notes. Players will then have the option to continue the story of their kill team after the event by joining in on the Killzone Ferrer Discord server, where members of the narrative campaign arrange narrative games with each other at their leisure. The Discord features many player-written stories and write-ups for the various kill teams participating in the campaign, as well as photo streams of everyone's hobby and shots from amidst the action. Jason, you and I are teaming up for the 2v2 at the end of the day.
Yeah, buddy, that's right. Long have we been fierce enemies, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly. It was only while we were playing Imperial teams that we were enemies, and now that I'm Chaos and you're Xenos, we can finally be friends.
My crew team are morally bankrupt, and I'm working on a background at the moment where they're being hired by a mysterious inquisitor whose objectives are unclear, but we've been ordered to work for the Fell Powers for now.
That sounds vague enough to work.
It could do. At the time we're recording this, there are places still available on that narrative event on the 18th. So if you are in the London area or can get to London, and I think crucially would also like to continue a narrative campaign after that, sign up. It's going to be a great day. Sal's put in a fantastic amount of work, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've got much more to add. It'll be wonderful to see everyone who wants to get involved, and if you fancy coming down and saying hi to me and Jason as well, even more so. So we'll see you there.
It'd be cool. It'd be cool. Now, last week we had the background for Strike Team Gambit and their superstitious chapter looking for tarot cards. So I think it would be remiss if we didn't have the narrative team background for, and I love this name, the Frenzied Male. No.
Oi.
The Frenzied Maul.
Oi.
Sorry, auto-corrected when I wrote this. And I quite like the idea that they're disgruntled postal workers.
It's very apt.
They are, in fact, the Frenzied Maul. We're going to give you some background right now. So take it away.
Never a more deadly gathering of Astartes crowded the belly of the battleship, Vindication's End. Chains aggressively clanging against Ceramite armour as the Red Butcher, Priscus, balks and rages inside his Terminator armour, now tomb. The nails have dug too deep and the ship has lost too many servitors and crewmen in attempts to doff the warrior.
Easy, brother. It will be mere celestial moments until you can once again face the battlefield.
Devourer Verus, likewise in Terminator cladding, turns back to the rest of the warband. He and Akilla were once members of the Red Angel's personal guard. The assault legionaries each were bordering on becoming berserker to varying degrees, twitching and snarling beneath their helms. The ship screamed back into real space, seemingly from the 35th millennium to, as far as anyone can tell, the 41st.
Let us begin.
Ooh, this sounds good.
There we go.
I think just as ever, they just sound like they need a good hug.
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
Sounds very good, though. I like it.
So these are my post-Horus Heresy World Eaters that are, you can see from the pictures once I put them up online. They're in their white armor with their blue shoulder pads, but some of them are transitioning to red shoulder pads and some of them are transitioning to red armor. So it's all part of that like trickle down corruption of chaos from the honorable warband it was beforehand. I can't wait to get them on the tabletop.
Yeah, me too.
So, before we get to the main segment of the show, a word from our sponsor.
This week's episode is sponsored by Tau Dazzlar House Drone. Having trouble relaxing after a firecast battle, an aircast dogfight, or a hard day at the factory with your earthcast colleagues? Then you will want the new and improved Dazzlar House Drone. It will mix the perfect cocktail, massage those knotty shoulder muscles, and buff those hooves to a pleasing shine. Let your troubles melt away, and don't worry as to what the ethereals are really up to. Have another mimosa. That's an order.
Okay. The main segment, which is going to be headed up by yourself, Jason.
Okay. Right, so we've been playing for, I don't know, 18-ish months, or at least I have. I think you've been playing for longer. We've got
thereabouts
quite a few kill teams. And I pretty much suspect all of us have a favourite individual operative from amongst all of them. Maybe the lore is really cool. Maybe there's a cool power or ability that you really like. Maybe there's just a model that's always rolled crits when you really needed it. Maybe it's a game winner. And we were keen to find out the favourites of others. And we made a survey and put it out there, of course. And Kill Teamers, you did not disappoint. We've got good old 60 replies. And we're going to go through some of the things you said, and some of them are really good. I'll go through that in a sec. But before we get to audience favourites, I'd like to talk about our favourites, because this is what sparked us in the first place. So, Sean, what is your favourite of all time single operative?
My favourite operative will have to be the one that I absolutely raved at the start of this entire podcast series, which is my Death Watch Sergeant Flavius, the Blood Angel that succumbed to the Black Rage and the Red Thirst, with his Power Fist and Plasma Pistol, and thoroughly flattened anything that was put in front of him.
Including some of my models, I may add.
Yeah. He joined my roster later on in the campaign, and then I just went back through all my battle reports and everything and realized since adding him, I never took any other sergeant. So it was just a real... He shouldered his way into becoming the hero of the story.
Well, that's what I want. The hero of the story. That's very good.
What about yourself, Jason? Who tickled your creative ivories?
Right, I'm going to do this a few times during this show. Can you guess which one my favourite is?
I'm going to guess. It's the Kellamore from the Wormblade.
I am transparent as a piece of glass. Right? Of course it's the Kellamorph, right? I think we might want to talk about this in more depth when we do when we get to our year of podcast. But my favorite team has probably been the Wormblade. I've just loved playing that team. And on that team was one of my favorite models in the whole game. Just that three-armed gunslinger, look so cool. So the model's cool. Background's cool. I was quite keen to that sort of character. So a proper character with, you can read books about Kellamorphs being involved in Gene Stealer uprisings and stuff.
Yeah.
And then couple that with the fact that he just is an absolute murderer in the game itself. So I'm nerdy enough to keep tallies of kills and things, and he was the biggest killer on my team during the period I was playing the Wormblade. So had it all. Model, lore, just good in the game.
That's what we want, though, isn't
killed,
it? You want them to line up.
Killed an orc stoties.
That's true. That's true.
So that was an easy one for me. I'm afraid I wasn't going to hit sideswipe you with something too out there. So we asked listeners essentially, I suppose, three questions. So which is the operative? Which actual? We wanted the operative name. You know, like Sniper Boy or Kellamorph. And we asked people to tell us which faction it was from, and then why they thought it was cool. So, bearing in mind we've done previous podcasts on the funnest team, can I ask you to guess the top three factions that these operatives came from?
Can they be in any order?
Sure.
Commandos.
Of course. Funnest team ever.
The most cool teamy team.
Number one, Commandos. Yeah.
Number one. Then, who else is really characterful? I'll go Wormblade again.
No.
Ooh.
No, we did have a few from Wormblade.
Legionaries, probably a lot of love for the Anointed, I can imagine.
A close second, Legionaries. Yeah.
And then I'm just trying to think of who came third in our kill team is kill team, because it seems to be lining up.
Characterful.
Characterful.
Not necessarily good. Characterful.
I've no idea. I'm drawing a blank. I'm trying to remember factions' names. You put me on the spot. Put me out of my misery.
Crute. I will confess, I amalgamated old Crute and new Crute. But that's partly because they were just talking about the same operatives. And then an honourable mention to Corsairs. And then a lot less of everything else. That was interesting. Yeah. A bit more of a spread for everything else. But, blimey, Commandos are just... Everyone should play them once. Everyone should play them once. Right, and I'm not going to read all of the replies we got, because it's a lot. But I just want to read out a few of these, because they're great. Demo Vet, the veteran demo guys, why is he cool? He slaps. All right. Similarly, the Kanathi from the Corsairs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a family show, so you'll have to fill in the blanks. He Fs. and Brimstone Grenadier Blooded because boom. Kill him and he just blows up. These are short ones that I thought very succinctly just got to the point.
Completely.
So a few more that I quite like. So Slasher Boy Commandos. He's the MVP of my narrative team. This is a quote. Rarely seen as a threat. Always gets more kills than the rest. What more do you need to know? I can imagine that about the Slash Boy. He's great. And the person's also written, plus the model shows he's an operative that knows what he likes. He likes to slash. We had quite a few either sorcerers for the Warp Coven or Balefire Acolytes for the Legionaries.
So yeah, I can imagine.
I'm kind of thinking magic is just, or psycho abilities or whatever, is just pretty cool. And I'm a bit like that myself, so I'm itching to play a Grey Knight team, but I really kind of want to wait till we have a bespoke version, because I just think magic is, it's all in the tile, it's magic. And quite a few people have just done similar kind of things about either one of the Warp Coven sorcerers or the Balefire Acolyte.
I mean, who doesn't want to run around with some space sorcerers, you know? Space wizards.
Well, yeah, I don't know about being flamed by some of them, but some of their tricks are just pretty cool. Like the Warp Coven guy who flies, and I think Nick's done a couple of games with me with his Warp Coven where they just did some very cool move. So I'm picking out somebody else's model here. Now, Commando Grot. Couple of big shouts for the Commando Grot. Now, that's probably my favourite one on the Commandos. So if I didn't have the Kellamorph in my back pocket, the Grot model looks great. Just so fun. And wins your games, right? That zipping across the board to get an objective. Right, so... these are anonymous, so we never asked for any names on these, but I know who this is. So we had three or four people gave a shout for the Crutox. I'm a big fan of the Crutox. And the comment is, Jason knows. Honestly, he's a beast. 16 wounds, decent shooting, yeah, I'm not even sure you need to put anything. Just obviously,
he's a monster.
The Crutox is just the model that's brilliant. I can't deny any of that. I quite like Anointed. He is an unstoppable in his demonic form, killing four orcs in one game. Ah, who was that? I mean, I can totally believe that. The Anointed. And was it Sal was saying somebody's... He was talking in the last week's show about somebody's anointed running riot amongst his custards.
Yes, slicing them up.
Now, again, this is a comment that's hard to argue against. Death Jester. Are you kidding? Death Jester. What more do you need? Yep. Can't say anything. That's just great. Now, I almost got confused when I saw this, because the operative is called The Blooded, but this is on the Pathfinder's team.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever played. Oh no, I have played one game against Pathfinders, but I don't know them that well. So this is.
I think it's the circles we move in, because I've never gone against Pathfinders either.
No, we're not meta chasers in our group. But this guy does. I've got to say, from the write up, it sounds good. I like silent weapons in general, and this guy hits hard, super reliable. Can see why my opponents wouldn't want to face him though. So bit of honesty, but no, you've got to love your own. Got a lot of your own person. Sounds like he's come good.
Yeah, completely.
Now, this person, slightly against what we asked for in the brief, but it's such a good reply, I can't not read it out. So someone has essentially told us that their inquisitorial interrogator is a proxy for the Tempestus, the sort of Tempestus sergeant, the Tempestor.
Yeah.
Right, get this. This is great. Inquisitorial interrogator Alexander Wake, tasked with carrying out tasks of the utmost importance on behalf of his master, Lord Inquisitor.
Redacted.
Interrogator Wake's exploits first earned the attention of the Holy Inquisition while serving as the local enforcer on the frontier world of
Redacted.
It goes on. It's brilliant. It's a fantastic. Whoever you are out there, please send us the rest of your background. If it's as good as this for all the other operatives, it's going to be amazing.
We'll read it out.
His dogged determination, unwavering nerve, and righteous faith in the God Emperor made him an excellent recruit for the Inquisition. Wearing the armor of contempt. That's my favourite bit. Brilliant stuff. This is what we love, listeners. We love a good background. Another operative that came up a couple of times, Shade Runner for the Corsairs. I don't know if you know this one. This is the one with the two blades.
Is that the one that gets the free strike if he moves through you?
Yeah, flies over you, cuts your face off. I've been caught out by this several times. But it is, what a cool move. It is a. If you can pull it off in a game, it's a winner. When we talked about, that's a Timmy move or something, is that right? Timmy or Johnny move?
I never remember which of the three is which.
It's like, if you can just pull off your best move in a game, you're happy. It doesn't matter if you win or not. Sometimes, yeah. But yeah, what that's very cool. And a couple of people have also gone for the leader of the Star Striders, Elucia Vane. I quite like this. Fun weapons, the best money can buy. It's true. really good. The model's good. From what I said earlier, I would like to do some. I would like a Star Striders team. I'm glad somebody said the dog from Star Striders, the Canid, because he's a good boy.
I'm surprised they didn't get more.
I'm surprised they didn't get more. We had several Crutoxes. That's like a big dog, isn't it? Also, I'm also glad someone's gone for the Chronomancer of the Herotech Circle, who I think the model's amazing and the powers are really cool.
Completely.
It's just at the moment not on maybe the strongest team is a bit of a shame, but we didn't ask about strongest team. We just asked your favourite coolest model. So the Cryptex and the main focus, the Herotech Circle team, the Chronomancer with the Entropic Lance is quite a force to be reckoned with. I absolutely agree. I think they look amazing. I would say all of the Herotech Circle leader models look really cool.
Yeah.
A couple of fighters from the Death Guard. So these are the close combat people.
Your plague marines with rusted swords and cleavers and power fists.
That's right. That is right. And you wouldn't go anywhere on this sort of thing if nobody had said bomb squeak.
Bomb squig.
I mean,
but all the cool ones are from the commandos. You can see why it was number one.
I mean, I'll read this one comment. It rarely goes off, but when it does, it's always epic. See, that for me, that's why this team's the funnest, right?
Listeners, he is absolutely beaming from ear to ear. So
it rarely goes off, but when it does, it's epic. That's just it. Right. So. Out of all of them, only one person has said assault intercessor sergeant or anything from the intercession team. This is why. I mean, of course, like this person's done a. You know, you can slingshot it into groups, and it can be so killy. Absolutely correct. But this is why I'm less keen on having an intercession team. They just
are they too generic?
They don't have any bomb squeaks. That's what they don't have.
That's it. No pets.
They're all business. No fun. We only got one. Oh, this surprised me. I thought this would be more. We only got one for the Gellipox. And I thought those, the Nightmare Hulks, is that the word? Would get more. Just got the one. I thought they'd be more popular.
Which Nightmare Hulk did they go for?
They've gone for the Lumbergast.
I don't know the difference, but they're all very cool.
I think the Thrice Cursed is the one with the flamey belly.
And three heads.
Listeners, you did not let us down out there. These are fantastic. These are fantastic. He slaps. He Fs. Can't beat those. just thanks so much for sending those in. We love getting these responses. I can't wait to do the next one. I've got a few ideas coming up. This won't be an audience survey, but I'm particularly looking forward to the Space Hulkiest teams. That's one for the future. It's one for the future. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that section. That was so much fun to read. But yeah,
fantastic. Thank you everyone that wrote in to us. I can't believe we got, what was it, 60 responses.
That's right, yeah. And if I didn't read you out, I'm sorry. Maybe next time.
But do know that he has read them all.
I've read, absorbed, and laughed and giggled at them all.
Fantastic.
I think that's gonna do it for the show today.
Just a short one. How about next time on Once Upon a Kill Team, we talk about XP, leveling up, battle honors, injuries, and what to do at the end of your first spec op.
If what you heard in this podcast sounds even remotely interesting, subscribe and tell your friends. For every subscription to the podcast, your blooded jackals slake their blades in the flesh of those who oppose them.
If you have a few spare pennies and would like to support the show, you can do so through Buy Me a Coffee. There's a link in the show notes. Once Upon a Kill Team will always be free, and any help you give goes towards making the podcast better. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on Once Upon a Kill Team. Just remember, it's not whether you won or lost. It's whether your heresy-era veteran legionaries exit the warp 7,000 years after they entered it and immediately get shot down by a band of novitiates instantly.
See you next time.